Hello, you are watching the La Nouvelle Esprit video series on the theology of the body. This video is dedicated to Audience 67. We are your hosts. I am Jeremy Hossauter.
And I'm Guillermo Moreno.
So we're continuing our discussion from the last couple of audiences, 65, 66, where we're looking at Matthew 22 and Mark 12, and we're looking at different elements of the text of Jesus' reply to the Sadducees concerning the resurrection and marriage. And so in this text, we're going to look at this statement that in the afterlife, we will be like angels in heaven. So this statement of us being like angels in heaven in the resurrection describes man's spiritualization as a different kind of existence from earthly life. And in this spiritualization, we have this experience of the harmony and union between the body and soul. And this is a healing of our human nature. And it's much different from our experience of just you and me today, here and now, what JP2 calls historical man. So when Adam and Eve sinned, this action introduced a disharmony, a disunion within the relationship of the body and soul, where the body is now rebelling against the soul. And so this is kind of a war within man. This is healed. The body and soul conflict is healed, where the body is now subordinated to the soul, and the body-soul unity is elevated in this spiritualization. And so we can start talking about eschatological man. Remember, eschatology is the theology of the afterlife, heaven, hell, purgatory, death, and the resurrection. And so when we start talking about the man of the afterlife, the eschatological man, in opposition to the historical man, which is the man under the weight of original sin, so includes Adam and Eve and all of humanity to today and tomorrow, who have not yet died and resurrected. So the eschatological man, in contrast to historical man, has no opposition with himself between the body and soul. And the spiritualization of eschatological man signifies that the body is mastered by the spirit, that the spirit will fully permeate the body, that the soul's power or the spirit's powers will fully permeate the energies of the body. And this is getting in reference also to the kind of psychological well-being of the human person. When we start talking about drives and instincts, all of these elements of the body and what is psychological would be fully permeated by the spirit. And so this spiritualization of man is a mastery of the spirit over the body. And on earth, it is possible to start obtaining some of this mastery as a fruit of being spiritually mature. And one thing we must be careful about is that this opposition to the body and soul is not entirely eliminated on earth, but it's diminished. The more we spiritually mature as persons, the more this conflict between body and soul can be diminished. But the spiritualization that we are talking about in heaven is beyond this experience of ever diminishing conflict, because the spiritualization in heaven is the perfection, such that this law of opposition between body and soul is completely eliminated. So on earth, we can reduce, diminish this conflict through maturing spiritually, but we can never eliminate the conflict. It's only in heaven when we become fully spiritualized with God's grace and through the resurrection that this opposition from body and soul is fully eliminated, completely eradicated. And so this points to the fact that the difference between our spiritualization in heaven and life on earth does not entail a disincarnation or a dehumanization. What we mean by disincarnation is this idea that in the resurrection or whatever, in the afterlife, that the body or the man is just spirits. There's no bodily element. That would be a disincarnation. The resurrection preserves the human body. The human body is part of what is being redeemed of man in the afterlife. So the perfection of man as a composite psychosomatic being is manifested in the harmony between body and soul. And remember, this term psychosomatic, that is again a reference to psycho, meaning the psychological and instinctual elements of man. And then you have soma, which is Greek for body, which is the bodiliness of man. This entire composition of psychology, our bodiliness, and of course our spirit, all this is going to be perfected and harmonized. And this is described in the harmony of the between the body and soul. And so the resurrection of the body is the definitive victory over death. It is a perfect participation of everything bodily and everything spiritual. It is also the perfect realization of what is properly personal. So you get this metaphysical reintegration of man, this unity between body and soul, and it's also a perfection of our bodily nature and of our personal nature. Everything that belongs to this thing we call the human person is perfected in the afterlife with this re with the resurrection. Guillermo, do you have anything else you'd like to add at this point?
I do not.
Okay. Now, this concept of the other world implies both the spiritualization, because we're going to be like the angels, but also a divinization, because we now become sons and daughters of God. So we can start talking about the divinization of man. You have this spiritualization of man, and now divinization. So the degree of spiritualization has its source in the degree of divinization. The more man is divinized, the more he is spiritualized. And this divinization is entirely different from any earthly experience. In this divinization, we participate in the divine nature with a fullness that is inaccessible while on earth, that we can only access in heaven when we encounter God's self-communication and fullness. And the new spiritualization of man is a fruit of grace, of God self-communicating to the entirety of the human subject, his divine life. And we've talked about this before, that this cons in the previous audience, this term psychosomatic subject indicates a tripartite anthropology. And we have a reference here to the theology of the body, audience 76, article 6, or 71, article 6, footnote 82, where JP2 talks about that a little bit more. Also, or you could just say, look at page 408 if you have the book. So this self-communication of God's grace divinizes man. It affects his bodiliness, that which belongs to his psychological well-being, his psychology, and that which belongs to him as a person, body, soul, spirit. And because of this, the subjectivity of man is newly formed in its entirety as this interior state of being able to see God face to face. Remember now that subjectivity is a technical philosophical term for the personal center of the human, of man. It is the, we could say, the ground of personal being and action. Our subjectivity is the act, it includes those actions of willing, thinking, those deep emotions of love or joy or sorrow. Everything that is properly personal belongs to this concept of subjectivity, where you have man's self-determination, man's freedom, man's ability to perceive the goodness and to know the truth, to apprehend what is beautiful. Our subjectivity is going to be newly formed in that we are able to see God face to face. And this ability to see God face to face is accomplished according to our measure of being united with God within the intimacy of the communion of persons, that is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And one important point to make here is that this intimacy within the Trinitarian communion of persons is not a absorption of man's subjectivity, but it makes it emerge in incomparably greater fullness and deep, or a great, an incomparably greater and fuller measure. In other words, you become more of a person, even deeper, in a radical new way, in this ability to see God face to face, and being united with him in this Trinitarian communion of persons. This is an important point because there are other religions, in particular Buddhism, that see man in the afterlife in this communion with God or the divine as an absorption of man's personhood, as such that the divine being completely takes over our personal being in our becoming one with God. And this is not at all what Christianity is about. Christianity preserves the personhood of all of man, even though we enter into communion with God, even though we participate in God's divine nature, which is a remarkable thing to contemplate, that even though we share in God's life and see him face to face, it's not like it's a bomb or something that just completely destroys our humanity and personhood, but rather it's something that elevates us. And it's not something that just kind of absorbs us. Like if you imagine our personhood being a glass of water, well, if you pour it into a pond, it's no longer discernible from the pond water. It's not like that either. This latter idea of like the glass of water, once you pour into the pond, you can't discern it at all because it's now part of the pond. That is the basic idea of the afterlife within a lot of these Eastern religions, such as Buddhism, this absorption of the human personality. Guillermo, do you have anything else you'd like to add on to this?
No, this was just really beautifully articulated in this slide, these points, this just not the concept of the afterlife, but of our experience of the afterlife. Just one thing that I would like to add to what you were saying about subjectivity is it's also man's capacity to experience on his own for himself, whatever it is that he is experiencing. Because no one else can experience something for me, or vice versa. You know, at some level, sure, we could partake in given activities and describe what it was like, but to actually be the one, be the agent that was active and or passive in this activity, whatever it was, that just can't happen with another party. Not quite. Subjectivity is the person's, I guess, for a lack of other words, the person's own agency to be the one to experience whatever the experience is. And in this case, just life and personhood itself. And of course, in the afterlife, divinization.
Yeah, thank you, Guillermo. I think another way of putting it is just the I that's proper to me and you. The I is preserved. Yeah, and unique. I can't have your I, you can't have my I. We're not saying EYE, we mean just the letter I. Yeah. All right. Yeah. Thank you, Guillermo.
Absolutely.
So, the divinization of man, we said, is not possible on Earth, and it leads us to a new meaning of the body. The resurrection of the body informs us that the body participates in its own way in this eschatological experience of the truth and love of being united with God and seeing him face to face. The fact that man and woman take neither husband or wife indicates that, again, that marriage and procreation are something earthly, something that does not occur in heaven, but also that there is a new meaning of the body beyond the conjugal union and procreation and marriage. And this raises a question that JP2 asked. The question is simply this: on the level of biblical eschatology, is the spousal meaning of the body virginal in meaning? And to answer this question, you have to dive into the essence of beatification guided by human experience. And let's see here, Guillermo, do you remember what beatification is in reference to?
So the first thing that came to mind is it's not accurate, but I'll share it still. What came to mind is the Beatitudes. Of course, having the same root word, they have a similar meaning behind them. But what beatification means, it's our partaking in God's life and in God's inner life in the well, the beatific vision is at the resurrection, at the end times.
Yeah, it's this concept of being blessed.
Okay.
Yeah, and that certainly goes into what you're saying. If you want to have this state of blessedness,
Blessed are the poor in spirit.
Exactly.
Blessed are the pure of heart.
Exactly.
Yes.
And that's exactly what we have to look at, is how to, what is the essence of this blessedness? And that's the direction that JP2 wants to take us down. All right. So, the eschatological experience of man, we can make two points. One, it's a concentration on man's spiritual energies, and it reveals through experience God's self-communication of God's most personal self-giving. God's mystery becomes the content and the, we could say, the form of human existence. It becomes the eschatological experience of man. And so in the life of the other world, in the life of in heavenly life, we experience the full and perfect experience of the full and perfect experience of God's grace. We discover in the beatific vision, the claim that JP2 is going to make is that we discover in the beatific vision, that is the state of seeing God face to face, the same characteristics of the spousal meaning of the body. And that is how he ends the audience. So the question before us is going to be, how do we discern the characteristics of the spousal meaning of the body in this Trinitarian communion of persons, in this state of blessedness? Do you have anything you'd like to add before we wrap up the video, Guillermo?
I do not.
Okay. In that case, thank you for watching our video. If you have been enjoying our content, please like, subscribe, share our content so that our videos about the theology of body reaches a wider audience, so that more and more people can be transformed by St. John Paul II's message. Also, consider making a financial donation through PayPal or Patreon. You can also directly tip us cryptocurrency through the Brave web browser if you are looking at our website or YouTube. Your financial support goes towards the maintenance of our website and our ability to purchase new materials so that we can continue providing you great resources, such as this video series and our many articles on our website. If you go to lenovelespreet.com, you can find all of our articles free for everyone to read. And you can also find our podcast. Can you give us some more information, Guillermo, about our podcast?
Yes, in our other podcast series, we talk about a variety of topics, such as trends in culture and politics, and we address them from a Catholic personalist perspective. You can listen to our podcasts on the La Nouvelle Esprit website on the podcast page under Media. And you can also use that page to locate us on Buzzsprout.com, where you can listen to us there, or use Buzzsprout to locate us in other popular podcasting platforms, such as Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify.
In case you're wondering just where is all this social media, you can just simply go to lenovelespreet.com/subscribe. There we have all of our social media information, PayPal, Patreon, Buzzsprout, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Facebook, and YouTube, and many more things. Again, that's at lenovelespreet.com/subscribe. You can also join our mailing list there. Yep. Anything else you'd like to add, Guillermo?
Yes, I would just like to keep our, I would just like to ask our listeners to keep us and our mission in your prayers.
Yes, Please continue praying for us. We are grateful for those prayers. And with that, we will see you next time.
Bye, everyone. God bless.